In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for this morning's sermon is the gospel appointed for this Ad Te Lavavi Sunday, the first Sunday in Advent. The gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter, beginning at verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the mouth of the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Thus far the text for this morning's sermon. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord is about to enter Jerusalem triumphantly in the words of our text this morning. Oddly, the church year begins on this Ad Te Lavavi Sunday, this first Sunday of Advent, with a Palm Sunday gospel. The name of this Sunday comes from Psalm 25. Ad Te Lavavi animam meam Deus meus in te confido non erubescam, neque irridiant me inimici mei. Unto thee I lift up my soul, O my God. I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. And you see this morning's gospel captures all of that. The church year begins where it began to end, when our Lord lifted up his soul to God the Father. By the end of that week, it looks like his enemies have triumphed over him. But by the first day of the next week, we see gloriously that they have not. So we start this morning where it ends. Watch, be awake, be ready, for the end is at hand. The first day of the church year is already laying hold of Holy Week, wherein our great enemies, sin, death, and the devil, ultimately not only fail to triumph over our Lord, but are indeed crushed under his feet for us men and for our salvation. See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The end is at hand. And so the king comes to you. He comes gently, humbly, riding on a donkey rather than a great white horse. He enters Jerusalem triumphantly, but in a manner unlike any other king. As we ponder our Lord's threefold coming in Advent, note also that he came to us and he comes to us most unlike any other God would. Behold the Savior of the nations. Isaiah prophesies that the government will be on his shoulders, and yet he does not overthrow Caesar. That government ruled the known world. But in the scheme of things, our Lord simply uses the Roman Empire as his tool to deliver us from sin, death, and the devil. Our Savior is greeted with shouts of Hosanna, originally Hoshiana. Lord, save us now. That's what that means. Hosanna, indeed. Your God comes to you, gentle and humble. Advent is a season of preparation, but we can get confused by the name of it. Advent is Latin for I come. It's not talking about you. Jesus comes to his people. The second person of the Trinity is, as he says, as the Father sent me. The word in Greek for a sent one is an apostolos. We get the word apostle from that. The second person of the Trinity is the great apostle, sent to overthrow the prince of darkness, to destroy lies, to establish truth. He walked in the cool of the Garden of Eden. He came down to see the Tower of Babel. He heard the cries of his people and came to Moses in the burning bush to deliver them from bondage by way of the body and blood of the Passover lamb and by way of the passing through the water. Emmanuel is God with us, God visiting us, God keeping his promises. He rides into the holy city of Jerusalem to die for your sins. He even comes to Burleson to have you for himself. Yours is a God that defies all man-made definitions of what a God is. He is not the God of many of the deist founders of this country. A God who... Stay. Many of the deist founders of this country believed in a God who kind of created everything, set it in motion, and then stepped back and just let it run. He isn't that kind of God. That God doesn't insert himself into human history like your God does. He is not a God. He is not the pagan's angry God who must be appeased in whatever ways they undertake to do that. He is not a God whom you must seek and find and ask into your heart. Your God is no mere abstraction of you, as so many of the gods of the ancient pagan pantheons were. God shows you who He is in the person of Jesus Christ. Against those who would piously admonish us to lift our thoughts to the realm of the transcendent God, the faithful rightly respond that we know no other God than the one who suckles at the breast of the Virgin, who hangs dead on the cross, and who comes to us in His body and blood, in with and under the bread and wine at the altar. The odd thing is that none of the people on that Palm Sunday imagined that they were seeing Jesus off to the cross. Surely some hoped that He would free them from the Roman occupation. Still others may have hoped that He would break the power, the religious power of those liberal Sadducean heretics. Maybe some even imagined the ushering in of a golden age of peace and a theocratic kingdom. But it doesn't matter. Foreigners, locals, even the disciples, nobody really understood what was happening. All they knew was that this was unusual. In fact, this is the end. The beginning of our church year is informed and defined by where it ends. What is this end of which I have spoken? It is finished end that our Lord announces from the cross a mere 5 days later. We're tempted to make it easier, cleaner, less dark and depressing. Crosses are ugly and bloody. Death is often bloody, and it is almost always ugly. The world would invite us with all of the happy holidays and season's greetings and canned music and the shopping, of course, to forget what matters most: Jesus Christ coming to us, for us men and for our salvation. Make no mistakes, all of that collateral busyness and evasion of the central point behind all of these accretions, that work of avoiding the recognition of Christ, is nothing other than the work of the devil himself, seeking to turn your eyes away from Christ who comes to you. In fact, the world will offer you a substitute gospel, the gospel of getting yourself on the nice list. Or worse yet, not even caring about being good and sort of basking in your own naughtiness, as some people do. Either way, you are lured away from caring about such things as sin and guilt and the cross and the atonement for the sin of the world that Christ Jesus comes to accomplish. Still, the people called out, "Hosanna, Lord, save us now." The people needed saving, They just weren't quite sure from what. You too shout, Hosanna. You too need saving. God grant you that seeing your Savior, you would indeed understand the sin, death, and the devil that you need saving from. The Son of David comes, the Savior God, to his people. They chanted, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Words placed in their mouths by the Holy Spirit, even if for themselves they didn't understand why they were chanting them. The Son of David comes in the name of the Lord to save his people from their sins. Even his name, Jesus, or Yeshua, means the Lord saves. The words of their chant were those of God's people saying back to God the promises that he had made to them. We too chant those words every Sunday as we prepare to celebrate the Holy Supper that began on the night in which our Lord was betrayed. So also again today, in the liturgy, you, together with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, will say back to God what he has promised you, that he is the God who comes to save you. Indeed, your help is in the name of the Lord. The Lord who came to you once as a mortal, he still comes to you, gentle and humble, this time not on the back of a donkey, but in, with, and under bread and wine. On the night in which he was betrayed, a little more than 4 days after the events relayed in our text this morning, Jesus declared to his disciples that they would not see him again until they said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Today, great David's greater son comes to find you, to destroy your sins, to establish the truth of his victory over sin, death, and the devil. And so, you do see him again. The words of our Lord come true as you partake of his very body and blood. You sing Hosanna in the highest, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." You sing that with the whole church, with the angels, and with the saints of all ages. You chant your confession of a God who saved and who still saves you as he still comes to you. You chant your Hosanna prayer of, "Lord, save us now," even as that prayer is answered for by word and water and body and blood. The end lays hold of the beginning. In baptism, your new Christian life began, even as your old sinful nature died. You were buried with Christ and raised to newness of life in the waters of holy baptism. Now, the end of your days on this earth will be nothing more than a little reenactment of the great big death and resurrection that you have already undergone in holy baptism. It was there that you were baptized into the still greater death and resurrection that Christ Jesus our Savior underwent for you. As we come today to the beginning of the church year, once again, we rejoice in our Lord's victory over sin, death, and the devil. Jesus' first coming is not really over. It is renewed to us again today. You hear His saving word. You partake of His holy supper. And so He continues to come to you. He continues to hosanna you, to save you now. Even the Son of David, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.